WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Being gay in the Army under Don't Ask, Don't Tell was more difficult than Alex Nicholson expected. He was discharged under the policy about 6 months after 9/11, after serving for 1 year, even though his skills as a human intelligence collector and translator of several languages, including Arabic, were sorely needed. Nicholson is one of the people profiled in a new documentary about Don't Ask, Don't Tell called Ask Not. It will be shown on many public TV stations tonight as part of the series Independent Lens. Nicholson is now the executive director of the group Service Members United, an advocacy organization for issues affecting gay and lesbian troops and veterans. Alex Nicholson, welcome to Fresh Air. Tell us a story of when and why you were discharged.
Well, I had enlisted in the Army in 2001 as a human intelligence collector, and for the most part, I was abiding by Don't Ask, Don't Tell. You know, Don't Ask, Don't Tell sounds so simple. It sounds like you just, you know, don't tell anybody you're gay, and nobody will ask you you're gay, and you'll get along fine. And for a while, that's exactly what was going on. But a couple of people happened to find out that I was gay, which was no big deal. We had no problems whatsoever. About a year into my service, a coworker in my unit who had found out that I was gay just decided to use that information against me for spite at that particular time and outed me within the unit. And that sort of led to a chain reaction of events that forced the command to discharge me early because I had been outed.
Did the commander who discharged you already know you were gay before you were officially outed?
No, the command didn't know at all. Very few people knew. The command was sort of forced to, over the objections of some in the command, just because of the Don't Ask, Don't Tell law, was forced to get rid of a multilingual human intelligence collector just 6 months after 9/11.
So when you were in the military and gay, but trying to stay in the closet so that you could stay in the military, what was your understanding of what you had to do? I mean, obviously, no one was supposed to know you were gay. So did that mean, like, you didn't tell absolutely anybody?
You know, that's a really good question, because even now, I have a hard time, like, looking back and trying to think of what I must have thought about this policy when I was, you know, 19 years old at the time. But, I mean, yeah, for the most part, I just sort of kept my private life private. And to be honest, we were just so busy at the time that I didn't really have time to, you know, have any sort of a gay life. I didn't really have time to, you know, date. I really didn't have time to do much other than just work. And so it didn't really come up. I mean, it came up a few times, you know, in some social settings. People would ask, you know, do you have a girlfriend? You know, do you have a wife? Do you have an ex-girlfriend?
So did this put you in the position of having to lie?
Oh, it put me in the position of having to lie all the time.
What kind of lies did you have to tell?
Well, people ask all the time, just sort of very naturally, when you're, you know, when you're in the military or when you're working in any job, you know, just what are you doing this weekend? You know, do you, you know, have a girlfriend? And, you know, sort of especially when you're working closely with people and, you know, you're mixed in males and females, and then, you know, you're sort of living in close quarters, things will come up, you know, like, oh, you know, so-and-so's interested in you, so-and-so, you know, these two are dating, you know, why aren't you dating? Having to switch pronouns all the time, having to make up ex-girlfriends, having to make up current girlfriends at times, like in boot camp.
That's what I was wondering. Did you make up a whole backstory for yourself, like a life that you didn't live, so you'd have a story to tell?
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't say that I made up a whole backstory. I mean, but you just sort of respond instinctively, you know, sometimes. And I'm sure over the whole course of the time I was in the military, I must have contradicted myself many times. But, you know, you're just asked sort of, you know, do you have a girlfriend? And you sort of, you know, automatically might respond, oh, yes, of course. I mean, you know, you're just
okay,
throwing questions.
But then I would say, tell me about her, and then what do you do?
And then it's just sort of a matter of ad-libbing. I mean, you sort of make it up on the spot. I mean, you obviously try, you know, at times you try to play it down. You try to change the subject sometimes. You try to, you know, transition out of having to describe more. But, I mean, it's just sort of a ad hoc thing. You just sort of make it up as you go along, and you hope that your face is not giving you away. You hope that you're not contradicting yourself. You hope that they're buying it. I mean, it's a constant state of fear that you're going to get caught, that you're going to, you know, your lies are going to get mixed up, that nobody's going to believe them. You know, I sort of describe Don't Ask, Don't Tell a lot of times as a cloud of fear hanging over your head the entire time you're in the military, that you'll get found out.
So you were out when you joined the military?
Yes, I was. I was completely out. I was completely comfortable. I actually went back into the closet in order to go into the Army. Why were you willing to do that? Going into the Army and serving in the military is something that I had always wanted to do. It's something that was very natural for young males in my family to do. My father was career military. I had always grown up around the military. It was just something, it was a lifestyle and a career move, and it's just something that I was really comfortable with and liked a lot. I had an affinity for the military lifestyle. But, you know, like I keep stressing, I just didn't think it would be a problem whatsoever. And obviously, you know, as a young kid going into the military, I didn't realize and didn't think about and had no way of knowing about all of the many nuanced manifestations of the policy that you encounter.
You know, some of the people who support Don't Ask, Don't Tell and who think it would be bad for the troops to have gays and lesbians serving in the military, here's one of the things they say. If there's a gay man in the service, he's going to be ogling all the other men, and that's going to make them self-conscious. And what's it going to be like in the showers when he sees all these other naked men? It's going to be surrounded by temptation, so it will be hard for the gay servicemen as well. So what's your answer to all of that?
Yeah, you know, first of all, I would say that scenario was pretty rare. It just didn't happen that often. You're just, you know, I mean, it's, I think the mental image of the group showers and the extreme lack of privacy is sort of based in a, you know, sort of a Hollywood type image of the setup of military facilities and training facilities. You know, I mean, shower stalls are individualized. They're segmented and they're separated by walls. There are no, you know, for the most part, it's rare to find a group shower in a military facility these days. So the scenario there that you described and that is often used as sort of a scenario to point to is extremely rare. Second of all, I would say that when you're training, especially, which is when you would really have the most opportunity to be in that scenario, you're just so incredibly busy and so preoccupied with so many other things that you don't even have time for anything like that. I mean, and you know, I mean, that sort of leads into the third point I would make about that, is that it's just those fears are just based on such outdated and flat out ignorant stereotypes of gay men mostly. I mean, it's, you know, they sort of categorically put in lesbians there as well. But I mean, the real problem people have and the real fear when they talk about the shower issue is they're really talking about gay men, I believe. And also I would say that, you know, they're already there. We're already there. Gay men, gay women, bisexual men are already in the military. They're already serving. They're already, you know, in the few instances where there are group showers or, you know, in situations with intimate and forced privacy and in the barracks where you have to live, you know, multiple people to the same room or bay. Gays and lesbians are already there. And so they're already in these situations and they already, if the temptations existed, they already have them. And these problems that are hypothesized that would happen are not showing up.
My guest is former Army translator Alex Nicholson. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Alex Nicholson, a former Army human intelligence collector and translator of several languages, including Arabic, who was discharged under Don't Ask, Don't Tell 6 months after 9/11. Were there parts of the military support system that you couldn't use because using them in the way that you would have needed to use them would have required outing yourself, like talking to the military chaplain, talking to a military psychologist, talking honestly with a military doctor?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's just understood that anybody who finds out you're gay in the military could potentially out you and have you discharged. And so that carries over to, you know, chaplains, it carries over to military psychologists, military psychiatrists, regular medical doctors.
What kind of conversations would you have wanted to have with people in positions like that you couldn't?
I think especially around the time, you know, I mean, it was a really rough and stressful and just hellish time around the time I was outed and sort of dealing with that and trying to contain it and, you know, just not knowing what was going to happen. And, I mean, I would have loved at the time, you know, I went through really bad depression when that happened too. And, I mean, I was just so fearful of what was going to happen to me and, you know, if my parents were going to find out, if, you know, I was going to be kicked out, what was going to, you know, I mean, it was just a really rough time that I really could have used, just any kind of support whatsoever. I just had to deal with every last bit of it, every minute of it, on my own.
So, did your parents not know that you were gay until you were outed by the military?
You know, I think our moms always know, but for the most part, no, they didn't. And you know, I'm a third generation of the same name, and so my dad and I have the same name, and my home of record address obviously was my parents' address, and my dad, like I mentioned, had been in the military also his entire life, and so when my discharge papers came being addressed to me, my dad obviously assumed that anything coming from the military to that address must be for him, and so he opened it up and saw homosexual admission on my my discharge paperwork, and that's how my dad found out I was gay.
If Don't Ask, Don't Tell was overturned, would you want to go back into the military?
Oh, absolutely. I love the military so much. I love the lifestyle. I love the people. I love the discipline. I love the mission. I love the sense of community and sense of purpose. It's something I, you know, the military is something I grew up around. It's something I know very well, and I feel very comfortable in that environment. I mean, I love it. I would go back in a heartbeat. I mean, I may not, you know, be able to go back and do the exact same thing I was doing when I was 19 years old. You know, I just finished up my coursework on a PhD now, so I'd be at a different level. But I mean, going back in the military is something I would do in a heartbeat if Don't Ask, Don't Tell was repealed. And actually, I mean, I'm very hopeful that Don't Ask, Don't Tell will be, you know, overturned in the next year or two or three at the latest, and that I still will be able to go back into the military. I'm young enough and I'm still otherwise eligible. So I really hope that that can be a possibility.
Well, Alex Nicholson, thank you so much for talking with us.
It's been a real pleasure, Terry. I'm really honored to be on your show, and thanks for having me.
Alex Nicholson is a former Army human intelligence collector and translator who was discharged under Don't Ask, Don't Tell after 9/11. He's one of the people profiled in the new documentary Ask Not, which will be shown tonight on many public TV stations. We called the Pentagon and asked for an interview or comment about Don't Ask, Don't Tell. We were given this statement from Cynthia O. Smith, a Department of Defense spokesperson. Quote, "The Secretary and the Chairman have begun a dialogue on this with the President. President Obama has been clear in his direction to Secretary Gates and Chairman Mullen that he is committed to repeal the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy. He also has been clear that he's committed to do it in a way that is least disruptive to our troops, especially given that they have been simultaneously waging two wars for 6 years now. Although this will require changes to the law, the Secretary and Chairman are working to address the challenges associated with implementation of the President's commitment. This law requires the Department of Defense to separate from the armed forces members who engage in or attempt to engage in homosexual acts, state they are homosexual or bisexual, or marry or attempt to marry a person of the same biological sex. The law establishes the basis for separation from the armed forces as conduct, not orientation. Our policy reflects the law, i.e., no military member is discharged solely due to his or her sexual orientation. These separated members have the opportunity to continue to serve their nation and national security by putting their abilities to use by way of civilian employment with other federal agencies, the Department of Defense, or in the private sector, such as with a government contractor," unquote.